Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter WWC295 at checkout. It's go time. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Again, the code is WWC295. Get it? Because it's like watch what crappens, 295, because it's $2.95 for whatever you're going to buy. Well, it has to be a new .com or
transfer. Oh, I just got that. I'm glad you explained
that
it.
So original. Why don't you just start a website about how original that deal is? So everyone, GoDaddy.com, WWC295, and you get a new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karen from Trash Talk TV, and I'm here with Benjamin Mandelker from BsideBlog.com. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie.
You can reach me, Ronnie. Come read funny recaps and stuff on our website, TrashTalkTV.com. You can follow me personally on Twitter at Ronnie Karam, or on Instagram at Ronnie Karam, or Trash Talk TV, or on Tumblr at trashtalktvrecaps.tumblr.com, or just Google me. Come to YouTube, because I do Big Brother in 2 minutes videos every week, and they're really funny, and it's YouTube, Trash Talk TV, TEEVEE. You can find Ben at bsideblog.com. You can find him on all social media outlets, and I mean all of them. There's not one that he's not on, at bsideblog. I would recommend his Instagram his Vine. Personally,
oh, well, I haven't done Vine a little bit. You know, I'll do a Vine today just for new people who want to come to my Vine.
Yeah, because now you're gonna have a little surge because we talked about it.
A Vine surge. You know, I haven't done my cherry tomatoes in forever.
I love the cherry tomatoes. Yeah, it's like cherry tomato soap opera. So you guys can go check that out. And all I'm really doing right now is Big Brother stuff, other than Watch What Crappens. So. Okay, there's that. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. That is where we get together with you guys all week and talk crap about the shows and each other. And if you have any complaints or suggestions, you can come there. If you just want to tell us how handsome we sound, you're more than welcome to come there as well. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
And on Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. So that would be great. Let's talk. Let's all talk together.
Yeah, let's talk all at once, all over each other.
So now, let's me and you talk. Let's just have it be you and me right now. It's just us, Ben. There's
just
no
us.
One else here.
Let's fire up the Kenny G and the Anita Baker and just light that fireplace and just talk about things.
Hell yeah. This was a huge change, and thank God, Bravo, because – thank God, Bravo. Bravo, God. Thank you, God, Bravo, because we really needed it. I was getting a little tired of the same shit, and now we have all these new things.
But before we, I just want to give one gossip item before we
start. Oh, do it.
In case people are wondering, Thomas Ravenel, T-Rav from Southern Charm, he is running for Senate, and he managed to get like over 16,000 signatures for his petition to run for office. And apparently it's like way more than he was supposed to even get. And so now he's running. It's like it's happening. It's all happening right now. Would you vote for T-Rav for office?
Hell yeah. They're all a bunch of crooks anyway. At least he admits it.
Yeah, I agree. Someone actually wrote a comment. One of our commenters, Michelle Lefebvre Jones, said, "We are from Charleston and watched his arrest, oust from office, etc. Don't think he has a chance in hell." I mean, I don't think he has a chance in hell either, but I have to say – I kind of like his I like T-Rav, and I like that he's just like, whatever, the system's broken. You need a crook like me to come in and fix it.
Yeah, I'm all about politicians doing cocaine in office because cocaine gives you energy, and it makes you like work harder. It's not like pot or something that's going to make him tired. It's not like he's just binging and sleeping all day. He's doing cocaine, people. That's called making an effort.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, allegedly a libertarian, which means that he's, you know, fiscally conservative. So all the conservatives should be happy about that. But he's socially, you know, leftist. So all of us can be happy about that.
Well, yeah, that's basically a hardcore Republican who's got caught with his dick someplace is what that means. That's basically what a libertarian is.
Well, T-Rav, if you would like to campaign on our podcast, you're more than welcome to come on here and you can tell us about all your different positions.
So what else? There's no other gossip. Well, Jill Zarin was on Wife Swap.
Oh yeah,
and that's true. So to celebrate, I had a TV swap and I got rid of my TV for a night and just completely pretended it wasn't happening. So fuck you, Jill Zarin. Hope you're shutting up somewhere.
That's great. I hope you got your TV back, by the way.
I did. It's really thin. It's one of those newer TVs, so it's like really thin and easily moved around.
Oh, okay, good. The other thing is, I'm just looking on our page here, facebook.com/watchourcrap, and I'm looking at things that people have posted. A lot of link love for The Hot Wives of Orlando, which is a parody of The Real Housewives. It's Casey Wilson. There are a lot of people in it who are like very funny. So I'm really excited to check that out. I'm going to look at that later this afternoon.
It's the same people who made Burning Love, right?
I'm not sure. I'm sure there's some crossover because all those funny people do all those things together. I don't know. I didn't see a huge amount of gossip, you know, because Facebook also rearranged the way the layout is, and I don't see other people's stories as easily anymore.
What I'm seeing a lot of, and I don't know if it's because I watch a lot of this shit, but funny videos. Like, I've seen so many funny videos on Facebook this week. Like, it's just out of control. It's every other thing is like a funny video. It's like a cat jumping on a giraffe's neck.
Yeah.
And I just sit there and watch them all.
Oh, Bravo has ordered $1 million listing in San Francisco, which should be interesting because the San Francisco housing market is out of control. And basically...
Yeah, because that show relies really heavily on realism, totally.
I know, exactly. okay, why don't we get to the shows? That's all.
Yeah, I don't care about that show. I care about LA only because... I don't even know why, but I really like it. Yeah, I can't. And I haven't even watched Miami yet. Have you?
Same. No.
Honestly, with all this Housewives shit going on, it's really hard to watch anything else, even on other channels. Like, I was watching The Strain the other day, that new vampire show.
I refuse to watch it because of the billboards.
Why? What are the billboards? With the eye?
Have you not seen the billboard with the eye, the worm coming out of it?
Oh, yeah, an eye with the worm coming out of it. Yeah, I was just waiting for old ladies to start fighting with each other, and it never happened. I'm, like, so programmed to Housewives. I was like, where are the zombie Housewives who are mad that the other zombies relate to their tea party?
The real House Vampires of Transylvania.
Yeah, it was stupid. Hey, everybody from Lost, like, how about you stop making mystery shows that don't make any fucking sense and you have no ending for it? That would be great, both of you, because the other one's making The Leftovers. So why don't you guys concentrate on making something with an ending, okay? You guys need to start working on procedurals. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, so Bravo.
All right, where do we want to start? Why don't we start with Game of Crowns, because I think we both loved it.
Game of Crowns, I'm in love with you, you're so new.
This show is amazing. It's like a Christopher Guest movie, but, you know, for real.
Dumber. Yeah.
Dumber. Even dumber. You know, I remember seeing the first look back in June, I think it was, and it was only half an hour, and I thought, oh, this looks hilarious. But the full hour, man, these bitches are hilarious and catty and totally lacking in self-awareness. It's everything you could want.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's actually a mom on there from Toddlers and Tiaras who was awful on Toddlers and Tiaras too, and now she's competing as a Mrs. So if you guys don't know what this is, it's moms, so it's people in their 40s. It's not like young moms. It's like older moms, and they're competing in the Mrs. contest, which is a beauty contest for older ladies.
Right.
Because that's what the world really fucking needs right now. Some older ladies in butt glue.
I actually think it is what the world needs. It's what I needed, I'll tell you that much. You know what this show, the things that this show has got going for it is it's got a bunch of deluded white women, okay? And they're all tacky. They're from Rhode Island. And P.S., I love that Rhode Island is now going to get its moment in reality TV because people don't realize that Rhode Island is full of tacky-ass people. And I don't want to be racist and say tacky-ass Italians. But I will say that the demographic cues very closely to New Jersey. But
yeah, I don't know anything about Rhode Island, actually.
Well, most people think Rhode Island, they think of like Newport, Rhode Island, which has these big fancy, you know, quote unquote cottages from like the Vanderbilts, et cetera. And they think, I don't know, it just sort of sounds like a place for affluent people. But really, Rhode Island it's like Guido Central. I mean, look, DJ Pauly D is from Rhode Island. You know, Michelle from Big Brother 10. She's from Rhode Island. I mean, these are like, if you've ever been to Rhode Island, like every bridge is like the Antonucci Bridge or something like that. Which there's nothing wrong with being Italian, obviously, but it just so happens that this brand of Italian that's in Rhode Island is more of the Guido brand. Hence, we have great TV coming from it now.
These women are hysterical. Okay, so first is the, like, blonde pretty one. She just won something. What's her name?
Yeah, Mrs. Oh, okay. All right, I'm pulling up the cast list. So I think you're referring to Shelley Carbone, who is the was the reigning Mrs. America of, like, 2011, I believe. Correct?
Yes. And the first thing we get of her is trying to pronounce things in front of the mirror, and she can't do it, which is an amazing way to begin the series.
Yeah, she is probably arguably the prettiest of the group, and she is the most
lost you, Ben. She's the most what now? You still there? Ben, come home to me on the podcast.
I'm here.
Okay.
What I was going to say was Shelley is she looks like she'll be the voice of reason, but in reality, she's just like an uppity snob. Not even a snob. She's just an uppity, like, mean girl from high school.
Yes. She's an uppity mean girl, and she has a fat daughter that she won't let eat candy. So yes. I'm basically like, there's my mom. So as much as I talk about my mom, there she is. So basically, this woman makes me crazy, and I love her very much.
Yeah.
At the same time.
So then we have Vanessa Sebastian. Vanessa.
No, it's not Vanessa. It's Vanessa. Vanessa. Okay.
Vanessa with three A's.
And no, that is an ass. That is an ass face. This woman has.
Yeah, you can't
this
spell Vanessa like, without ass.
Yeah, this is like one of the beginning parts of Botched. Like, this woman needs some serious fixing. I hope when they win, there's like a gift certificate to go see a Dubrow, because that bitch needs it. She has ass face. She has two eyeballs and an ass.
I mean, it's always. It's never a good thing if you look vaguely like China the wrestler.
Yeah.
That's always. It does not bode well for your pageant career. Her whole thing is that she is a nurse, and she won. It's very hard. They all have titles, but they're very confusing. Like, one woman is like Mrs. Rhode Island America, and one's Mrs. Rhode Island USA. So let me look. Vanessa's title is that she is. Oh, the Bravo doesn't even. Oh wait, does Bravo even have her name on here? Oh, Mrs. Connecticut America 2012. That's Vanessa. And she also had breast cancer, by the way. The new thing is fake breast cancer is out, real breast cancer is in.
Yeah, as long as you don't have it right now. Because if you have it right now, nobody wants to be around you. You have to either think you have it, or you have to already be over it.
And no,
it
can more
be
like,
Bravo, but otherwise like you're out.
You have to have had it a while ago, and then use it as the basis for all your arguments. Like, I can't believe you said that to me. I'm a breast cancer survivor.
Yeah, yeah. You always need to have that in your argument. And Bravo doesn't want to pay for your health care if you actually have cancer. They just want it as a plot device.
Yeah, but they will pay for fibroids. Fibroids is fine. So the other thing with Vanessa is that she is Native American. She's Passamaquoddy. And she lets this other girl borrow her Native American costume, which is actually a beautiful costume, but it looked ridiculous on a white girl.
It was very Will Rogers Follies. And also, if you just won the contest last year, why would I want to wear your fucking outfit that already – and I'm white. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Also, yeah. I don't understand people, like, only bragging about being Native Americans when it's important. You know, like, when they're driving through a casino slum where it's, like, poor people who can't feed themselves with flies all over their face who are just sitting there like dead horses – no one wants to claim them then, but then when they need a little attention for some beauty show, they're like, I'm Native American. Hey, how about you donate some fucking money, okay, to your people? They need you. Stop just bragging about it for bragging rights, creep.
Stop bragging about it just to get a little extra attention at the Miss Tri-State pageant.
Totally, because you know she is. You know that's the only time it matters that she's Native American. She's like, I might have an ass face, but I was in this country first. I deserve to win.
Oh my god. So the thing with Vanessa also is that she's quote unquote like a mentor to Susanna Pagliata, who is the woman who's from Tyler's and Tierra's.
Yeah.
But Vanessa is like the biggest bitch behind everyone's back. She in to everyone's face, she's like, oh, hey, sweetie.
With really big eyes, those big fake eyes.
Yeah. But she says the nastiest things about them behind each other's backs. I mean, they all say really nasty things, but Vanessa really leads the charge.
Yeah. She's awful. Okay, so there's two of them. And then we've kind of talked about the woman who's the Susanna. Mom from Toddlers and Tiaras. So, she's effing crazy.
Basically. She's like a low-rent Bethany Frankel. She's got the same voice. She's got a better jawline, so that's good. And she sort of looks – actually, she's a little bit like somewhere between Bethany and Jenny Poulos a little bit. No but disrespect crazy. To Jenny Poulos. Yeah, but crazy.
Yeah, she's fucking crazy. And she has this thing, this competition thing going on with her daughter who's like 8.
Isabella.
Which is very funny. Yeah. She ends up winning the regional contest, which I honestly don't know how she did that, but she does.
Well, I know how. Did you see the other competitors? One was like some like 60-year-old lady in a bikini. One woman was, you know, no offense, she was a little heftier. I mean, it was just a disaster, those other contestants. I mean, in comparison, Susanna looked like a model.
And well, yeah, and she. But then they had that question section, that question and answer interview section, where they're like, so... what's your goal? And she's like, well, you know, you know, I know lots of things. I know 20 languages. And I know macrame. And I build homes for Africans. And, like, bitch, you and do I not do
Chinese.
Any of that.
She's like, I can speak Chinese. Lo mein.
Chonga ding dong. Ding dong. Every time the doorbell rings, I go, ding dong. You know, because that's the language. Even my doorbell knows multiple languages.
I eat pasta 4 times a week. Oh, pasta. See, I speak Italian, too. yeah, she's...
when she won, she actually went on this terrible show, I guess, in Rhode Island called Hour with Bob. And it's like some old guy drinking a big gulp, like in a cheap suit.
literally drinking a big gulp.
Yeah, during it's the interview. Yeah. Like, and it's like the big, big gulp. You know,
and she's like everyone watches An Hour with Bob. Isabella never made it on there. I'm like, oh, that's really great. Competing with your 6-year-old daughter for media appearances.
Totally, that's what I was going to say.
Isabella was never on Hour with Bob.
Like, oh my god.
Oh my, listen, I mean, I kind of want to watch An Hour with Bob, especially if he is also getting guests on the same level as Miss Tri-State.
Yeah, but because I mean, Bob's really the kind of host that, you know, he's just gonna fart on him and be like, I farted on you, what do you think of that? Welcome to Hour with Bob.
Well, I love that she acts like she's being interviewed by Diane Sawyer. I mean, this is truly just some schmuck who probably spends the rest of his week hawking used cars, you know, and then rolls into some public access Rhode Island studio to have a conversation.
Yeah, that guy honestly made no effort. He's like, ah, welcome, someone who won a beauty contest, ain't you pretty, hon? Yeah, I'm just gonna have my hand on your ass right here. Hey, you don't mind if I flirt with your bitch, right? Bob. Gross, Bob.
Oh, gosh. Now, of course, the big thing of the episode, should I jump ahead to this between Susanna and Vanessa, or should we go through the rest of the cast first?
I mean, honestly, we'll go through the cast as the season goes on, because they're all fucking equally ridiculous. So,
as long as we're talking about Susanna and Vanessa, the big fight of the episode was that the two of them wore the same ugly-ass teal paisley jumpsuit to Tucson, Arizona. And there's so many levels of tackiness going on here. I can't even, the fact that they're in Tucson already lowers the bar. And then
I know, was Phoenix busy? I mean, come on, at least go to a bigger city. Jesus.
I know. And as someone who has recently been in Tucson as of 2 months ago, I can tell you the place has become a shithole.
It's become a shithole. Like, it used to be a glittering metropolis.
Well, I'm saying it because as a child, we went to Tucson on a family vacation, and I thought it was awesome. And then I went back like 10 years ago, and I thought, oh, Tucson's cool. But this time I was like, it's like the San Fernando Valley, but with less culture.
Yeah, Tucson's one of those places where you're like, oh, I really want to go just be in nature, man. I want to be in the desert where there's nothing, it's just peaceful. And then you get there and you're like, this is the most depressing fucking thing I've ever done in my life. Screw this. I'm going home where there's never any silence.
I know. No, it's truly, it's just like, it's strip malls and strip malls and strip malls and no one walking around. It's really, it's terrible. Jeez. But you can get really good chimichangas there because that's where they were invented. And they've got beautiful saguaros.
It's a really good place to die, Tucson. I might die there. If I have a choice, like if I'm about to die, I might go to Tucson and just have some chimichangas.
And if you're a straight male, I mean, you got all those hot co-eds at the university there, too.
And don't forget the Native American culture in Tucson. Speaking of Vanessa.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, so anyway, I'm home. I came down on a plane just like my ancestors did before Silverberg. The Mayflower came over and killed us all.
I like how you've made the Native American accents vaguely British.
Because, you know, we were all together in the beginning.
Yeah. You gave her way too much class with that accent. No, basically what happened was they're at baggage claim and she's like, actually, Susanna, I would really like to address something with you. And Susanna's like, oh, this better not be about the outfit. And then she's like, you are latching on to me. You're leeching for fame. Blah, 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 blah. And they just started yelling at the baggage.
I love that she kept saying, you're just trying to be relevant.
Yeah.
And then Vanessa does that thing that crazy people do by trying to turn the argument around with something else crazy. And she's like, but look, I'm glad you're trying to be like me with your nails. I'm glad you're trying to do your nails like me. You're trying to be like me. And she's like, oh, really? I'm trying to do my nails by getting a manicure where you're trying to be like me. You're trying to be relevant in my suit. She's like, ah, I'm not doing this right now. Get Jackie. She's like, you better fix your dress. You better fix your boobs. She's like, that's a really nice thing to say to a woman with breast cancer.
Oh, God. It is a nice thing. It's really hoping for the best for those boobs. No, I just love the idea that Vanessa thinks that, like, somehow by copying her, it makes you relevant in society. Like, somehow, like, Mrs. Rhode Island America 2012, like, she is the key to relevancy. Relevant.
Well, maybe it can make Vanessa relevant. They could be like, Vanessa fixed her ass face. She's won another title. How'd she do it? Yeah, and I love that the whole thing was caused by an evil gay person. I love that even Tucson or wherever, Rhode Island, there's like an evil gay person ready to try and jump on a Housewives show, because that's basically what this is. And it's basically some gay guy who owns like the only boutique in town, you know, that's not like Dillard's or like TJ Maxx. And has dresses, and he's like, I just wanted to warn you that Vanessa is wearing the same dress right now on the airplane. I know because I sold it to her. And she's like,
let's call Vanessa. Vanessa, I just wanted to warn you, I'm wearing the same dress as you.
And Vanessa's like, well, I'm not sure how I feel about this.
It was like she just said, hey, Vanessa, I just found out I can be a surrogate for your next baby. So what do you think?
Yeah. Like this huge decision, Vanessa.
I'm just like, but I will say this. To be fair, if we are going to take sides in this issue, Susanna should have probably changed her outfit. Right? I mean, she was literally, Vanessa was already wearing this and Vanessa didn't have time to change. Susanna should have changed. Now, that being said, did it need to be a brawl at the baggage claim? No. Should they have been laughing? Yes.
Yeah, do you guys really need to be dressed up to go on a like Southwest flight from fucking Rhode Island to Tucson? I don't think you do.
Yeah.
I think you guys...
They looked hideous. I mean, they looked... The fact that they were vying to wear this jumpsuit is the funniest part of it all. Because it was truly like... teal vomit in fabric form.
Yeah, that was like, we're ready to party and die in Boca! Let's go to Boca! Let's all choke to death on something!
It's like someone found some discarded fabric in the back of Marshalls and made some terrible outfits out of them. It's like a Project Runway disaster.
Yeah, no one won that fight, and American fashion lost. Period. Yeah.
Now, the other women on this show, we also have Leah, whose name is all scrambled up because she spells it L-E-H-A. So, Laha.
Like the laugh.
Laha.
Laha. And she's like the ex-fatty of the group. And I like her because, you know, people who've been fat for a really long time, like me, have really gigantic heads.
Yeah.
Because something about like eating too, like your head just gets bigger to fit on the bigger body, I guess. Like it's really weird, like skeletally. I don't know. It's really weird. Like when Star Jones lost all that weight and she still had a gigantic head, or when I lose weight and I have a big gigantic head. That's what this lady has. She's kind of manly looking.
Well, she's manly because she lost weight and she got into like bodybuilding, which I think we see that more. We saw that in the first look that she got into bodybuilding and things like that. And so now she looks like a female bodybuilder, and female bodybuilders tend to look like men because I think they take whatever supplements or hormones or steroids.
Well, I'll tell you who doesn't mind, her gay husband.
Oh,
he's like,
he seems like an asshole.
Yeah. Wait, are we talking about the same person?
Leah. Yeah, we are.
Laha.
She's the one.
She has the gay husband, and she's like a...
I didn't think he was gay, actually.
She works at, she like has a real job as some kind of traveling salesman or something, like a pharmaceutical rep or something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think her husband's gay?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I
10 to 1 that guy has butt balls in.
Maybe. It could happen. I will say that you know, the thing with Aaliyah is that she's not as obviously nasty as the other girls so far, but she is a pretty big bitch too. Like, she has said some really mean, she makes digs the entire episode.
Yeah. Well, she's got to earn her keep. You know, these ladies have TVs.
Yeah. And then there's also my personal favorite, Lynn Diamante, who she's the one who offers cupcakes up to Aaliyah. She's like, oh, congrats on making the pageant. Here, have a cupcake.
Yeah, she's like, congratulations on all that weight loss. You want to eat something, honey?
So Lynn Diamante is totally the Catherine O'Hara character from any Christopher Guest movie. She is like, I don't know, maybe like 75 years old. she's got blonde hair, but she's got these weird little like pink and light green highlights. Sort of the thing, you know when people have like tiny little white dogs and they put stupid little pink sprig in there on their hair. That's what she's done to her hair. She's
got like the Adrian Maloof like strand of blue. Oof.
Yeah. And she walks around in these like tacky ass, like plastic jackets with her boobs hanging out. She's got portraits of her and her husband. Her husband looks like he's like 12. He's like this super dorky guy. And they have these crazy portraits of themselves all throughout their home, you know, where like he's nestling his face against her naked, pregnant body. And then she also has this like amazing back catalog of photos of her from like 1986 and from like 1991 when she was in these random pageants, and she has the dorkiest face where there's a picture. Did you see the picture of her with Ronald Reagan?
No.
There's a picture. She's getting an award from Ronald Reagan, and she has this look on her face as if she's like a little kid like getting a new toy. It's the funniest. This woman cracks me up.
And she's like, I have done 18,000 pageants, and I'm the matriarch. Like, oh, my God, with this show. Like, no one knows any English.
Yeah. She also has, by the way, a super cute little girl who has glasses. Like, this cute, nerdy little girl. I feel bad for her.
I don't feel bad for the kids. I think those kids are so fucking lucky. They're going to have so much to mock for the rest of their lives. Like, when these kids get their own podcast, they're going to have a lot of material to work with.
That's true. They won't have any questions on why they wind up, like, messed up. They'll be like, why do I act like this? Why do I have this self-behavior? Oh, wait, that was my mom. Never mind.
Anytime it's time to come up with excuses in rehab, they'll just, like, play this show for people. Everyone will be like, oh, it isn't your fault.
No, I absolutely love Lynn. I think she is hilarious. She is so, so funny. And she has a sunglass business. That's what I love too. She's like, yeah, I was in pageants and then I went to law school. And then that's why I started my sunglass business. I just, for some reason, the idea of her having a sunglass business, it's so perfect. It's Christopher Guest.
Yeah. My favorite part was when they all get to Tucson and it's like all of the contestants and they're in these old lady bathing suits sitting around, and I'm telling you, so that looked like Bosom Buddies. Yeah. You know how on Bosom Buddies those guys were in drag, but it wasn't like real drag. They still looked like dudes in drag, like just dudes with really bad makeup and terrible wigs. That was that whole cast of women.
Yeah. And Lori Ann Marchese, who's the last cast member, she's like 29 and comes from the fitness world and kind of stumbled into this whole Mrs. America realm. She was one of the women in those crazy bathing suits. Well, not crazy, just like conservative bathing suits. And what was funny was like, she, first of all, she's not that bright. She, when everyone had to like cross their left leg over their right leg, she crossed her right leg over her left leg, which I thought was funny. but also, she does have a hot husband. That's for sure. I think he's hot. And,
hot. And he acts like a 5-year-old, of course, like all hot guys. He's an idiot.
But I love that the woman, like the pageant administrator was like, she's like, Lorianne's like, hi, I'm Lorianne. The pageant administrator is like, Lorianne? Lorian? No, Lori Ann. Lorian? Lorian? I'm like, bitch, Lori Ann. It's not difficult. Everyone, all the minor characters in this show are hilarious.
Well, this show is going to be so much fun. It basically ended with Vanessa screaming at Vanessa and
Susanna
screaming at each other. And it just is going to go down because someone all the ladies are laughing at another lady on stage, and then someone's husband gets involved and threatens to kill someone else, and someone has a gun, and I mean, it ends up going fucking off the rails. So
yeah,
I'm really excited to see.
No, I think it's a show that everyone should be watching. Like, for sure, it is laugh out loud funny. It's kind of a perfect show.
Okay, so speaking of criminals with guns in random places, let's move on to the premiere of Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
So this after show. All of, you know, Bravo got a lot of shit because of how they have been exploiting Joe and Teresa's problems, right? They're filming this season way earlier than they normally would because they wanted to try and see Joe go to jail.
Yeah.
They're being real assholes about it. Of course, and they're exploiting it in every way they can. So when they fired their other cast members, Caroline and Jacqueline, who probably will go to jail at some point, but it's just not going to happen like tomorrow.
Yeah.
They were like, no, let's get people who could be thrown in jail at any moment. And they brought on pure criminals. Everyone on the show now is like a cast member from Orange is the New Black.
You know what? The show has finally become what I've always said it should be, which is basically Jersey Shore. In the sense that when Real Housewives of New Jersey first came on, season one, Bravo was trying to go for like a Sopranos feel, like this is the family and this is like mafia, blah blah blah. But people don't care about that. People want to see tacky ass Guidos, and that's what Jersey Shore gave America. And Bravo's like, oh shit, we got to change that up. So Bravo changed up the casting. First they brought in, you know, Teresa's family, and now finally they've gotten rid of, you know, like the Manzos and all that, and now we have nothing but pure Guido.
They're pure Guido, and I think there's at least like two criminals in the
No, bunch, I mean, which... definitely the guy who has the restaurant in Little Italy, and definitely, by the way, the new girl, what's her name? Is her name Amber? What's her name again?
Amber is a really angry one, and then there's the twins.
Yeah, Amber. You know, the funny thing with Amber is she's like, well, you know, I used to be friends with Melissa back in the day, and we both wanted to like get wealthy, and she went the marriage route. She got married, and she got her money, and I went to Columbia, and I got my money. I'm like, lady, as far as I can tell, the house that you're living in is not based off of what you've done with your Columbia degree. I think you married, too. I mean, it's cool that you went to Columbia, and actually, by the way, my hat is off that Bravo found a reality star who went to an accredited university. But
Amber's just one of those women who everything she says is angry. It's always like this. Even if she's like, Merry Christmas. Welcome to my home. Put the gifts down over there. Have some punch. This is going to be great. We're going to have some fun.
It's like, Jesus, Amber. God, can I just take off my fucking coat and enjoy the party? God.
I know. Well, I'm mixed on Amber. On the one hand, I did like that she's sort of like a disciplinarian with her kids and that she had them like all in khakis and like blue Oxfords. I was like, wait, where is this waspy like taste level coming from? And I like that she had them opening the door for guests and leading them. I thought that was cute. And I thought that was like good child rearing right there. But on the other side, she had terrible makeup and she seems kind of like an awful person.
Oh, she's the worst, and she's one of those who's just been waiting to pounce on Melissa. Because couple of years, there's been this thing going on with Melissa Gorga that hasn't really been on the show. Well, last year they brought it onto the show a little bit, and that is that Melissa, basically her entire bridal party hates her ass. Like, basically she used everyone, fucked everyone's boyfriend, and then got on TV. That's basically what happened.
Sounds about right.
You know, from what we know. And so it's been going on mostly on social media of people going after Melissa and saying all this stuff. And Bravo, of course, got smart and just brought one of them directly on the show. So Melissa is going to have some serious shit to deal with.
Well,
and I think it's really funny, too, that Melissa is in trouble now and she's lying again. She's obviously lying. And it's all things that she just forgot. And people can almost prove it because it's on Facebook. But, of course, this girl can't prove it. But it's like another Facebook thing where Melissa's, like, insisting that she didn't do it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. What you're referring to, of course, is the fact that Amber was a breast cancer survivor. She had cancer a few years ago. And so, you know, you knew that Amber had an axe to grind with Melissa because when she approached her at this like harvest party that Amber was throwing, she was like, yeah, I feel like, you know, we fell out of contact like all those years ago. And I just wanted to know like what happened. And then Melissa's like, well, you know, and she's like, you know, cause of, you know, I had all the cancer. And then Melissa's like, wait, what? You had cancer? And then she's like,
no, I had the cancer.
She's like, you didn't know about my cancer? You didn't know about my cancer? As if like all of the world should know about her cancer.
Well, I mean, if you're in someone's bridal party and you have breast cancer, all those bitches gonna talk. I mean, of course she knew she had cancer. She even wrote her and said, of course, Melissa's version of being nice about it is that she wrote her on Facebook and said, let me know if there's anything I can do, and never called and then never wrote again. You know, so of course she knew about it, just fucking ignored it.
Melissa's probably like, oh, I thought she said she had a dancer. So I was like, oh, that's great that you have a dancer. I was like, let me know if I can do anything for you, like have sex with your dancer.
I thought she was talking about the reindeer, Prancer. I was like, Merry Christmas.
You got a Lancer, a Mitsubishi Lancer? That's great. I love that car.
I thought she was telling me to pants her, so I pulled Teresa's pants up and gave her a wedge.
You got a Panzer, like the tank? You got a Panzer? That's great. I love tanks. I love military warfare.
I'm sorry. I thought she was saying, I'm sorry, I can't, sir. And I was like, what? I didn't ask you for nothing, bitch.
I thought you were in the middle of your sentence. I thought you were saying you can serve something. I was like, yeah, serve something. Yeah, whatever I can do to help you serve it. You can serve it.
Yeah, Melissa's an awful person. Okay, so there was that. Okay, so Amber is the angry one.
Yeah.
And she is going to get really angry this year. And she's the one in the season previews that is yelling at everybody, freaking out all the time, and making a huge deal. Like, her stupid husband came in this time with a full pig, which, of course, we've already seen on Real Housewives of Miami. Oh, well, you know Peter.
Oh, yeah.
Peter, your father comes in with a pig. Oh, my God, it's so scary, Peter. Nobody wants to see that. You know, Frankie was in an accident. He doesn't want to look at a pig like that.
Oh, well, you know, Peter, ever since, like, Frankie was in, like, an accident, you know, like, Peter, like, he has to look at dead pigs so that way he can feel, you know, mortality, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, Peter, he has so much anger since Frankie was in the accident. So we get these dead pigs, and then we tell him, look, it's a homeless person. And then he goes and kicks him in the balls and videotapes it and puts it on the air, you know, because it's how he deals with it. You know, it's because of Frankie.
Yeah. And, you know, this way he's not kicking taxis or, like, real homeless people because he's doing it all to the dead pigs. So, you know, it's like he's an artist, and that's just, like, how he does it, you know?
It also, you know, Peter, you know, he's so upset, and it keeps me from gaining weight because I don't want him to think I'm a pig and then kick me in the vagina, you know, and then tape it and put it on the air, you know, because that would be my fault because, you know, it's all about Peter, you know, and his feelings about Frankie.
Oh, well, you know, Peter, you know, sometimes he watches Looney Tunes and he sees Porky the Pig, though, and he's like, oh, I'm going to kick the TV because he thinks it's the pig that Armando brought into the kitchen. But no, it's like, I have to be like, no, well, you know, Peter, that's a cartoon, you know?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, Peter,
you're an artist.
Like, oh, you know, Peter, TVs don't grow on trees, okay? We can't just keep buying a new TV every time a pig comes on there, you know? Just stop watching Designing Women.
Oh, well, you know, whenever I put on Nick at Night and Taxi's on, Peter goes crazy. He always tries to kick the TV, too. He's like, oh, it's a taxi. I'd be like, Peter, no, that's Judd Hirsch. She's a very important man, Peter. You should learn a lot from Judd Hirsch.
He hits that taxi.
That's Tony Danza, Peter.
Oh, my God. All right. So that's Amber. Angry Amber. Okay. Then we have these bimbo-ass twins who look like they're being played by Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh, my God. Kristen Chenoweth, if she made it with a piece of beef jerky.
Yeah. And they're both awful. I can't really tell the difference between them.
They're like, what are their names? Like Nicole, and what's the other one?
I don't know.
Lisa Marie or something?
They're both just fucking awful. Like, I don't even want to know the difference. I pride myself in not being able to tell the difference.
She's like, well, I have a husband. I can't even do her voice. I'm doing some weird thing. But she's like, yeah, I got a husband in Vito, and we got divorced, and then now we're back together again. And, that's
her voice? And it's kind of like, she kind of has that throaty voice, too.
I have to listen to the show a little bit more. But,
we were divorced, but then we found out that we still loved each other. And so we're still together, you know, but we're still apart, you know, like we live in the same house, but we both can do whatever we want, you know, because that's how love is.
Ugh. Gross. Nicole, you're both gross.
It's Nicole and Teresa. Teresa Apria and Nicole Napolitano.
We finish each other's sentences.
Yeah, we're twins.
Hate them.
I'm basically doing like a Guido version of my Toya voice, but that's okay.
Yeah, so those twins basically are both married to criminals, I think, too. So I'm...
No, one of them is single.
Oh, yeah, one of them's divorced. Oh, yeah, one of them's divorced, and the sister's like, well, I'm divorced, and I'm back with my husband. That's what I want to happen for my sister. Really? What a high goal you have for your sister.
Yeah.
She's like, wow, I hope your fat, ugly Guido will come back to you, too.
I do kind of like together. Nicole's husband. I think his name is Vito, right?
I'm sure. Something. I'm sure.
He is kind of hilarious.
Or Joe.
Yeah. He's like, this part is boring,
Oh, yeah, he was awesome. He's like, get me the fuck out of here. I ain't staying here. Bunch of boring people. Yeah, you know what these people do? Walk in circles and circle jerk each other. We're out of here. We own the biggest restaurant in Little Italy, huh?
She's like, the fucking kid took my scarf.
Yeah, that guy's going to be the most entertaining thing on the show this year. It's like, fuck this party. Let's go somewhere where people know how to have fun.
Yeah. And then we also had the return of Dina Manzo, who season one, I love Dina Manzo, but I hate her now because she's friends with Teresa.
I like Dina Manzo. She's such a know-it-all bitch. It's like,
I know, she is. I mean, she still is really funny. And I love her. I love her. She's like my fucked up pets. Because yeah, they are fucked up.
I really like her, actually. And, you know, I have to admit, I've admitted it before, but it's been a while. I did not watch season one of Jersey because that was when I was still too good for these shows.
Mm.
Before the recapper quit. Like, I had to recap one and got obsessed with it. But I actually didn't watch season one, so I only know Dina from her HGTV show, which I hated her on. So this, I actually really like her, and I like that she's, like, kind of a natural woman still. Like, she's not totally plastic surgeryed up. Maybe a little filler and Botox, but she's actually just a beautiful woman.
She's really funny. I actually feel like, even though, you know, by the end of Caroline Manzo's run, I really couldn't stand Caroline, I still felt like the fact that Dina somehow took Teresa's side versus Caroline in that whole situation, I thought was like shitty.
Caroline's a horrible fucking human being. Could you imagine being Caroline's sister, that backstabbing little twat? And also, we know that a lot of that stuff went on because of the other sister in the group, who is Jacqueline. And I don't know if any of you pay attention to the tweeter, but Jacqueline and Ashley were throwing stones at Dina during the premiere. And then Dina, you know, made some comment like, well, this is why I don't hang out with those jerks. And then Jacqueline was like, oh, really? That's why? Because I can tell them really why. If you really want me to let some dirt fly, I could really say why you don't talk to us anymore. It's like, shut up, Jackie.
I know. This is a terrible
just
family.
Shut up. Turn off your TV.
Tacky people.
It's never too late to try and raise your child. All right? Go away.
Yeah. Meanwhile, but I will say this, Dina is obviously the funniest of the group. And then, of course, we have Teresa, who she is getting, an awfully sympathetic edit this year. And at first, so it was funny because I was watching it and I was like, you know, they showed in the beginning Gia's crying and in the end Gia's crying and they bring the whole family together and they have this big picture, which, say what you will about the family, if you think about this, this woman from Italy now has like 300 people that are spawned from her, which is pretty amazing. And I was like, oh, this is really kind of like impressive and this is sweet. And I was like, wait, fuck all this. This guy committed fraud. This guy is a full-on criminal and Bravo's trying to make us feel bad for the situation that he got himself into. They're acting like, you know, oh, wow, well, these bad things are happening to daddy, or I don't know what's going to happen. It's like, no, you guys brought this on yourselves. You guys got into fraud. You guys lived beyond your means. And now you want me to feel bad about it?
I mean, it's not only like bank fraud, you know, which is part of it, but a lot of it was like defrauding victims of the hurricane and shit, like just really, really bad, gross.
Yeah, I'm like, stuff. No, I'm like, I refuse to buy it. Like I've hated Teresa since season one. I've always hated her, and I'm like, I'm not gonna be manipulated by Bravo. Like, this is, you know, I feel bad for Gia, and that's about it.
I don't. I mean, I really don't. And this is why. It's like, look, that's the kind of family you're from, and now it's going to be a badge of honor for your whole life that your father's in prison. Because it's not like being where we're from, not that we're from the same place at all, but it's not like being like from a normal place where people are like, oh, your father went to prison? Oh my God, how embarrassing. There, it's like, your dad's in prison. Oh, that's honor. Yeah. Your dad's a criminal. It's honorable. Yeah. He didn't rat on anybody.
I feel bad for Gia. I feel bad for Gia because she's a little kid and she has to deal with this shit that her parents brought on. Like, I mean, that's the first thing they should have thought of. Like, forget about even the fraud, that they would potentially jeopardize the entire family by being public figures and committing fraud at the same time is the stupidest thing. And now they got this girl who might not see her dad for how many years in jail? Probably like 3 months because of the penal system. But like,
I guess I'm just so jaded from watching these shows that I'm like, that little bitch got a gift. She got like a 3-book deal, because you know that when she grows up, she's going to be able to be like, the life of a daughter whose father was
Victoria Gotti.
Yeah, totally,
with a better wig
and like more horrible crime. I mean, more like pasty crimes. Like, the Gotti crimes were more interesting, I guess, but still, I just feel like, oh, she's got a spinoff coming up when she's of age. I'm not going to worry about her.
Either way, I'm excited to see where the season goes. It looks like there'll be a lot of fun arguments and Guido activity, so should be good.
Yeah, that should be fun. Hope we don't have to watch those kids cry, because that is really sad.
It is sad when you see the kids cry. Oh, by the way, I have to say, I mentioned this on Facebook. I'm actually not using this as a segue because I don't want to talk about this next show just yet. But I'm starting to realize that Gabriella, Teresa's daughter Gabriella, looks like basically a baby version of Annabelle from Ladies of London. Did you notice that? Look at it next time.
I didn't look at it. I don't even look at that girl. I just like gloss her over because she's just so pretty. Sad. I'm like, oh, I don't want to look at sadness. I just pretend she's not there.
No, because she's the only one of those groups. She's the prettiest one of that group.
Yeah,
as opposed to Melania, who is like still so awful. And you know, I know that there's this whole like cult of Melania that's out there, because I mean, she is hilarious because she's so bad. And people always say like, oh my goodness, like they love Melania. But I don't think the Judaizers realize that people love Melania because she's so awful. That's funny to laugh at how poorly she's been raised. And it seems like now they are enjoying letting her be a total wild child.
Yeah, I really like her.
I mean, she's the things that she says to her parents are so fresh that like that would not fly in my household or my parents. Oh my god, if she said anything like that to my dad, she'd be thrown across the county.
Her eyes would be bleeding.
Yeah, my dad was not like that, but my dad would if. Like as a kid, or if any kid now ever like speaks back to him, he'd be like, "Who do you think you're talking to?" And you're like, "Ah!" Like my dad can just do it in a way that's like so scary into your soul that like you just are like, "I will never do that again, sir."
Oh, my mom didn't do that. She would go, "Romana, get the wooden spoon and beat the shit out of Ronnie. Tell me when you're done." Poor well, Romana. She yeah. didn't mean to be an abuser. She's still in jail. So what's next? You want to talk OC. About Lads of Lens? You want
no,
to talk about
Orange
OC?
County. We got to talk about Orange County because it was excellence. Oh my god, what a fight!
Just watching this Shannon chick unravel is so sad.
It's so sad because she's basically unraveling thanks to like these idiots that are around her.
Kind of, but she's also just a Looney Tune. I have a feeling that this woman is always unraveling, and the longer she's on the show, we're going to see that she's going to unravel every year about something crazy and little, and it's going to get bigger and bigger in her mind until she just goes fucking crazy and she's put in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, like this that's week, what I like okay, about it.
She already had the fight with Heather, right? She already had it out with Heather. She already talked about all the shit with her husband in Mexico. So it's like drama, drama, drama every week with her. So this week she comes with news that Tamara told her eons ago, from what it sounds like, because she just needs something to be pissed off about still. So she's like, well, Tamara once told me multiple times that the Dubrows are out to get me and take me down. I'm like, really, Shannon? And you need to bring that to this dinner party
yeah,
today?
That was so the ladies all had a fault at some point. That was Shannon's fault, was that she brought that up to Tamara at the dinner party for sure. Like, why did you bring that up? Like, what's the purpose of bringing that up right then and there?
She came in ready to fight. She was just ready to go at Heather again.
Yeah. Well, she was all amped up. And so she tells that to Tamara, and then Tamara's like, oh, I never said that. I never said that. Which is hilarious because, of course, clearly Tamara said that.
And then, of course, and we get a backup from Vicky, who's like, I know Tamara said it because she said it to me, too. So I know that she was going around saying that at some point. I love that Vicky is just completely backstabbing Tamara every chance she gets behind her back and showing no evidence of it to Tamara.
Yeah, it is sort of curious that when this then all came out, when, of course, Tamara mentioned this at dinner to Terry and Heather, that when this all came out, that Vicky didn't say anything like, come on, Tamara, you told me the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's shocking that Vicky actually did not say that, because Vicky loves to get involved, but this year she's not getting involved with anything.
Well, she's doing it all behind the scenes and letting everyone else fight with Tamara, because she's already learned what happens when she argues with Tamara. Like, no good comes out of it.
Yeah, none whatsoever. So meanwhile, the dinner party pretty much starts, and everything seems fine and happy, and things are moving along, and then
and
there's
awful
like,
and boring. Okay, first well, of all, like congratulations for having rich parents who have a big house for you to throw a party. And what are we, 15? Like, who does that?
By the way, how boring is Lizzie that like her home renovation storyline basically lasted a commercial break. Normally that shit lasts a whole season for other women. There, she was just like, you know, we decided just it looks too 90s in here, so we're going to revamp it. And they come back from commercial, she's like, well, it looks great.
Like, yeah. Okay. And her idea of revamping it is just painting the walls white and then putting fluorescent lights everywhere. What the fuck was that? I wouldn't have stayed in there. I would have been like, what is it, dinner? Are we getting skin cancer while we're eating? I'm not staying in this room. Get rid of this. I look terrible in here. Get me some yellow lights, please.
But how about at dinner when they were making conversation and someone was like, it's like, hey, Brooks, what's your favorite part about Vicky? He's like, her vagina.
Well, first, you have to give him credit for first trying to say her brain.
Her brain.
Which nobody fell for, of course.
Yeah. And he goes, her vagina. Like, I mean, even if he was going to say that, couldn't he have, like, put it more delicately?
Well, I mean, look at Vicky. What are you going to pick?
Yeah. He should have said her love. Honestly. He should have said her love.
Just visualize each body part one by one. Like, do a reverse meditation where you're going to get stressed out instead of calm. And just imagine each part of Vicky's body going from head to toe. No.
He's like, I like her pancreas.
Yeah. He's like, I really like the back of her throat. really like her the inside of her palm, her butthole, like, and her vagina.
I like her aorta.
I really love the back of her elbow, you know, where the arm bends. I mean, it gets sweaty in there in the summertime, and it just feels so good around my penis.
I like her pinky finger. Brooks is so awful. He's like, who says that? Her vagina? Oh, my God.
Well, at least he didn't say pussy. So, marks for Brooke.
Yeah.
You're getting classier, Brooks.
That's true.
I liked at the beginning of the dinner how the stupid husband of Lizzie is like, all right, I'm going to give a toast. I want to say I like toast, and toast with butter is better than toast without butter. Yeah. Yay, nighttime. Who doesn't love the nighttime, right? I love the cool air. Oh, isn't the beach pretty? Thanks to everybody for coming. You know what? Let's thank who made chairs, because what would this dinner be without chairs? Look how you guys are all sitting down. Isn't it comfortable? Thank you, chair makers. How about these lights, right? These are called real brights.
Shut
up. Just don't. If you don't have anything interesting to say, sit down.
Yes, please. Please do that. Please do that. By the way, I want to say on Facebook, one of our listeners, Pete LaDuke, he had a very funny comment regarding Brooks's comment. He goes, Pete says, well, now we know why Vicky pees on beds. She's been loosened up.
That's funny. We also have a really good picture. I'm looking at it right now. Jenny Thompson posted a really hilarious picture of Vanessa from Game of Thrones standing next to Khloe Kardashian. Yikes.
Yeah.
That's funny because it's true. It's scary because it's true. Okay. So what else happened? Okay.
Okay.
So Shannon comes in raring to go. Right?
Yeah.
And hey, David is on her side today for whatever reason.
David,
can't believe she would do that to me, David. I mean, she said she wanted to take us down.
Yeah. But to be fair, though, so even though it was bad for Shannon, Shannon should not have brought up to Tamara. Agreed. We agreed with that. So then, but fast forward to this dinner party. So Tamara has now decided to spill the beans to Heather and Terry that Shannon approached her asking, did the DeBros say they want to take us, the Bedores, down? And so Tamara tells us, and then Terry and Heather become furious and call out Shannon from across the table. And Shannon actually has a very good response, which is that, listen, this is just what I heard, and I asked Tamara if it was true, and Tamara said it wasn't, so that was it. That's why I didn't bring it up, because there was nothing to say. It was like, end of story. And she was right. Right?
Yeah, I think so. I was just waiting to see what you were finishing. I'm sorry. But I love that Tamara was like just doing damage control before this came out. She just goes up to Terry and Heather and she's like, well, this girl is saying I said something and I didn't say it and I just want you to know. So the whole fight was stupid because she's saying I heard it, but she heard it from Tamara, who's now denying it. It's like it already doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
and
one of
Terry
our listeners is, like,
is just ready to jump on her. You know, so he's ready to fight with her. So he just starts yelling at her, which was really tacky. You know, the DeBros are really gross. They are both gross. And they start both jumping on her and better. And they're pointing her finger.
You yelled at me at your house.
Oh, are you going to yell at me again at someone else's house? And she's yelling across the table and pointing her finger and acting like holier than thou. I mean, that woman's really gross.
And by the way, when Shannon, quote unquote, yelled at her, which she did not do, she just raised her voice. But when Shannon did that, this was on the heels of a conversation where Heather said, listen, if you have a problem with me, just say it so we can nip it in the bud. And that's exactly what Shannon did right then and there. And Heather's been holding it against her ever since, even though Shannon did apologize and we saw it on camera when Shannon went over to Heather's house. And Heather still is like, oh, are you going to yell at me like that time you did at your house? Imagine me. I'm a guest in your house and the host is yelling at me.
Yeah, you just can't argue with Heather because everything you say, she's like, oh, well, it's like that time that you yelled at me. You could be like, Heather, you ran over my child. My child is dead in the street. She'd be like, huh, your child? Did you see what your child did to my car? He yelled at my car. He ran in the middle of the street and started yelling at my car until my car finally hit it. You know, I should be suing you. I should dig up your son and sue your son. Because your son ruined the front of my car by yelling. It's like, what are you talking about? What are you even talking about? You're just fucking yelling and pointing your finger in people's faces with your Coraline's evil mother eyes.
I can't wait for this reunion, by the way. I don't know when it's going to be, but I can't wait for them to finally all see their stupid footage and see how – mainly Heather, to see how she acted and see how other people acted. And every time she says that Shannon was yelling at her, like at the restaurant with the chair and then at the house, and she realizes that there was never any yelling. It was just
no,
like –
No, she won't. She'll like still agitation. See it all over again. She'll be like, see? You see what she did? Like,
that is true. She didn't have any sense of self-awareness with the whole Gretchen thing last year with Malibu Country.
Yeah, she'll just be like, you see, that was proof that I was right. She yelled at me. Even, you know, she's the one that keeps pushing you. Like Mama Joyce, you know?
Yeah.
Mama Joyce keeps pushing, and then someone's like, don't fuck with me, bitch. And she's like, she called me a bitch. That's wrong! Like, what? Well, you deserved it, bitch. So Shannon finally loses it at this party and starts sobbing, and she's obviously Ben.
I'm back.
Okay.
Hi. So you were saying how Shannon started to cry.
So Shannon just went crazy in that awful house with all the fluorescent lighting, and it was just bad. And when is the season finale of this show?
I don't know. Like, I hope it's many episodes away because I'm totally riveted by all this drama. Because then they went outside. They tried to hash it out outside, right? And Heather just continued to be very, very condescending and continued to, like, not understand the situation. Well, what did Heather do? She was trying to compare something about the hearsay. She was trying to make a point, and it made Shannon go absolutely nuts. Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember, but I think it was something to do with she just kept saying, it's like when you yelled at me at my home. And
well, you know, it's for a brief second, it seemed like there may have been there might be some progress because they started to say, Tamara started to explain, well, how the context in which she told Heather about the email. And then Heather started to explain the context in which she told her friends about it. But it's still at that point, Shannon was seeing such red that she couldn't hear it. And then Heather said something. I really wish I could remember what it was. She said something that just sent Shannon off, and she went so crazy, like she could barely, like you could see she wanted to jump out of her own skin. She was so mad.
But that doesn't take much with her. And it's Heather true. Really doesn't say anything new. She just keeps repeating the same thing over and over. Like she sticks with her lies and just repeats them over and over. Oh, she was saying, oh, I didn't bring you up at lunch. Other people brought you up because everybody's talking about your marriage. And right. Shannon was like about to kill her. She's like, that is not true, Heather. You're twisting it. The way she twists it.
She twists it around. David.
Flames
David.
On the side of my face, David. Flames.
She's twisting it around. I won't let you do this. I won't let you do this, Heather. I won't let you do this. Every time we talk, you make it sound like I'm screaming at you, and I'm not screaming at you.
I'm not screaming at you. I'm leaving this party, and I'm not screaming at anybody, and you won't see the truth.
And then Tamara's like, stop it! Stop it!
That was such an amazing moment when she had her hand in the air, like, you all will see the truth. It was like there should have been, like, trumpets playing and, like, violins, soaring violins and fanfare. It was like this gladiator Russell Crowe moment. Like,
over
or, like,
what?
It was like the Oscar, it was the Oscar scene. Like, you'll see the truth. The truth will come out. Like, as in the trailer, you know?
Over what? Exactly. I mean, nothing is even, like, this fight is about nothing. This fight is so stupid. It's about zero.
And, you know, the best part about the fight is that it also came on the heels. All this came out on the heels of Tamara reprimanding Heather about spilling, personal confidential information that she gave her about pregnancy to Eddie. Tamara told Heather, I really didn't like it. I told you something in confidence, and then you went and told Eddie, and I really didn't like that. And Heather was like, okay, you're right. I'm sorry. I will never do that. And then Tamara immediately turns and says, so anyway, this is what's happening with the Bedours. And then immediately Heather goes and says, so this is what's happening with the Bedours. And now you have a whole shit show.
Well, Tamara just keeps starting it. It's like she's talking to one person, and then they go away, and then she changes her story when she's talking to the next person. And we see her doing it on camera. Like, she's such a fucking liar, and she's starting everything that's going on. And I love that at least Lizzie had the foresight to say, you know that it's just Tamara, right? Like, it has nothing to do with anybody but Tamara.
Yeah. I mean, Lizzie is just sort of like, she couldn't even, you could see she couldn't even believe these crazy women. But Tamara kept on saying, well, you know I'm not a liar. How many times have you known me to lie? How many times? It's like, all the time, Tamara. All the time. You do nothing but lie.
Well, I love that Shannon is one of those people who never lets anything go. Because even like 5 seasons down the line, if they're best friends, she'll be like, well, remember that time that you lied and I told you something in confidence and you told, I remember that. I still remember it like it was yesterday and it hurts. It hurts. I just want us to be friends. I just want you to want to spend time with me and not lie to me, David.
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 David. David. David.
I'm just realizing with each episode how more and more. It's one of those things where I feel almost bad talking about Shannon because I could see something really bad happening in the future.
Yeah,
like, that just doesn't seem like a storyline that's going to end well. It's like she's going to, you know, I don't know. She's going to turn herself into a windsock, right? Like a fucking.
I also have a theory. You know, Tamara, it seemed, almost was like siding with the DeBros, and she seemed like you could see she was kind of throwing Shannon under the bus. And I think the reason why she's doing that is because Shannon caught her in a lie, and Tamara felt terrible about it, and she's been raked over the coals for it. And sometimes when people are in that situation, rather than kind of like having to man up and deal with the personal responsibility of having hurt someone and the repercussions of that, it's easier to actually get into a fight with them and then to be like, you know what, well, who cares, fuck them anyway. So it didn't surprise me that she started to actually go towards Heather's side and start to vilify Shannon a little bit, because it makes it easier for her to handle her own shame in what she did.
Well, yes. I think also she's doing it because she knows that Shannon is going to call her on her bullshit. Like, Shannon's still mad at her. Right. And Heather isn't. Like, Heather is at the point where she hates Shannon so much that she'll do whatever it takes to have someone on her side against Shannon.
Right.
So even if she knows that Tamara's causing all of this, and even that she knows Tamara's a fucking liar and not a real friend, it's someone on her side against Shannon. And so no matter what happens, she's going to believe whatever Tamara says, and she's going to go after Shannon. It's so stupid. I mean, I just wish the fight actually had something to it. It's like,
well, I don't know. I mean,
they're gonna bring you down. I mean, that's such a housewives thing. Like, you down. Like, how
there
can
was
you
more
bring
to
him
it.
Down?
There was, like, but there was more to it than just that line. It was that all this like simmering emotion and like anger was like just pouring forth. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I am finding these fights on OC this season to be totally riveting, because there's something about them that feels real. It feels like there are real emotions going on, and it's like they're the sort of fights that are oddly relatable. Like, you can imagine having them with friends, whereas the fights that you see on Married to Medicine, for instance, on the stupid reunion, it's like, oh, Quad, you know, it's like, you said you'd make me relevant and I am relevant. That it's like, who the fuck cares? Or it's like, when you can see how, stupid and petty those fights are, and not saying that this isn't a petty fight, but there's something very easily fixable about other fights, and this one is like a little thornier, and you sort of can sense that. I don't know. It's hard to describe.
Yeah, so let's just move on to Married to Medicine, since I brought it up. Segue-way.
We can cover this in about all of 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was stupid.
It was stupid. Heavenly was funny. Mariah apologized to Quad, and Quad accepted it, but, you know, she's not really going to accept it. And Simone and Toya got into a big fight over who knows what, about who is a better friend. And then they fought in the backstage in front of Simone's son. And really nothing happened.
Yeah, and it was really hard to watch because
everyone was interrupting.
It basically just kept going over the same season shit that we've already seen, which was all useless, made up bullshit. And also this one, something about the show in general that really bugs me, but it was really on display at the reunion. A, Andy Cohen, still, you make me fucking crazy. Like, just the sick joy he takes in, like, fucking up everybody's lives. And I hate that he still opens every show with, hi, Heavenly.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Dr. Jackie.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, LaToya.
Ooh, what you should do is say, hey, Toya. That's okay.
Who are the rest of them? I don't even remember.
Doesn't matter.
Hi, Mariah. It's like, Jesus Christ.
I know.
Just say hello, welcome to the reunion, and start. Like, what the fuck, Andy? But Andy also followed me this week on Twitter, so I'm going to be a little bit nice and just cut it off. Well, he didn't follow me. He followed the site. Because we got into some kind of weird argument because the ladies of London are tweeting Trash Tweet TV back because we tweet out our recaps and they read them. The Americans read them, apparently. Marissa and Juliet read them and tweeted us back a couple of nice things. And Juliet was like, wow, you guys sure have an opinion, huh? And
she should come on. She should come on the podcast
because you know Trash Talk TV is like not nice. It's really snarky and rude. And I just
you
wrote
say
back,
we're just being honest.
Totally. I just wrote back. Oh, you know, it's all in good fun. We make fun of each other too. That's just the point of the site or whatever. And then somebody tweeted back because one of them retweeted it. And then someone tweeted to some stranger tweeted like, oh, you people are bullies. You're cyber bullies. You're disgusting. You're against women. I would report you if this wasn't on your own website. If you said something like that on Twitter, I'd report you. It's like, go fuck yourself, you know? Go fucking report me on Twitter, you fucking loser. I love the people's outrage. Like, I'm so outraged that you call someone a twat that's on Bravo. I'm ruining your life! Like, go ahead and ruin my fucking life, you creep in Canada. Go for it.
Seriously.
But anyway, so I think that was why. I think he was like, ooh, bitch fight over Ladies of London. So that was fun. So anyway, Married to Medicine. So they take such joy in yelling at each other, they walk away smiling. Like they just were in a boxing match and they won. And they walk away like, oh, that's right. Even Dr. Simone, who I normally really like, but she starts yelling and calling Toya stupid and all of this stuff. And then when Andy calls break, she's walking off with a huge smile on her face. Like she just won points. It's like, bitch, you're a doctor. You just fucking embarrassed yourself. Like, why are you smiling? I don't get that show.
I know. It honestly was just... It was like the pits. It was just so boring. It was boring. It really was. They were screaming. I mean, there were some amusing parts, but like I think like half of it was Quad being like, "I loved you like a sister, I loved you like a sister," and everyone at some point was talking about how the other one was not a good friend. Even I mean, Lisa Nicole got into it a little bit. She was like,
"I find that you are very manipulative." And as someone who had almost cancer, I have a very hard time dealing with that.
I would like to cure you of your almost craziness. I don't think it is very nice.
Yeah, Lisa Nicole. And I did love how honest they are when Andy's like, well, Heavenly, why would you say that LaToya's not smart? She's like, because she isn't.
That was amazing.
She is, Andy. She isn't.
She isn't,
smart.
Andy. Come on.
She's not smart, Andy.
It was just basically rehashing a very stupid season. And then it gets to the stuff of Mariah and, you know, whatever you were just talking about, that other girl, Quad. And no one ever saw the fight. So it's like we're rehashing something we never saw. And then they're yelling and fighting and crying and blah, blah, blah. And Mariah, who knows that she's going to be kicked off the show at this point if she doesn't do something, is like, well, I'm sorry. I am sorry that I did that to us and our friendship, because I value our friendship. I'm sorry, Quad. And Quad's like, okay. The end. I was like, okay. Well, she apologized. So, you know, it's raining and I got an umbrella. I'm waiting for the bus under a bus stop. Okay,
the alarm clock went off, and I hit snooze, honey. 9 more minutes of peace.
I got a notebook, honey, and I'm taking notes about you, honey. Like, all right.
My car registration is due, and I'm paying that, honey, because I'm not getting pulled over by this madness.
That air pop is going, and the popcorn's about to start flying out of it.
I'm looking through my Cook's Illustrated, and I see a recipe for peace and quiet and tranquility.
I got some new running shoes, and I'm about to speed walk in them.
I have a ballpoint pen, and I am writing checks for happiness.
So that was dumb. Okay, so let's move on to Lads of Lens.
Yeah, Ladies of London. You know, I'm a big fan of this show, but I thought this episode was a little dull.
Yawnsers.
Here's what I liked, that they brought the etiquette teacher, who was formerly on The Girls of Hetzer Hall, one of my favorite long-lost MTV shows, Mrs. Schrager. She came. They had Caroline brought this portly etiquette teacher.
This is not what we do at the dinner table.
And so it was hilarious because Caroline basically arranged for Noelle and Juliet to meet with this woman because the two of them are basically two little monsters. They're animals, barbarians. And, you know, Juliet seemed like, I mean, she was, you know, she was digging in her heels a little bit, but, you know, because she was like, I just like to be honest. Like, that's the American way, is to be honest. And P.S., that's not the American way. That's, like, your dumbass way. Yeah. But Noelle was just being a straight-up, like, bitch about it. She was like, oh, I don't understand why I have to do this stuff for my etiquette class. And she's like, oh, I know how to like sip soup from a bowl. All I have to do is like sip soup from this side. And Miss Sherry was like, no, that's the exact opposite thing that you're supposed to do.
Like, well, maybe Americans can teach you all to have a little fun and take the sticks out of your asses. Oh, Ben, did my bad accent get rid of you, Ben? My bad accent has killed this podcast.
Scott, what did you do? Scott, I can't tell you how much I can't stand when the internet goes out. Scott,
like, you're basically talking to you're trying to teach manners to a woman who basically got off the plane in London, fucked every rich guy she could, broke up a marriage to get her own rich, ugly guy, and just hounded him into buying her a $10,000 apartment. I mean, what kind of man? If this girl needed your fucking, if this girl had any manners, she wouldn't have a place to live right now, okay? The reason she is even still living and has a purse on her fucking arm is that she has no manners, okay?
Yeah.
A girl with manners wouldn't just drop on her knees for any old homely guy with 5 kids or whatever. You know,
she
wouldn't make it with manners. Sorry.
Well, what's also hilarious is that when she tells us, she says something like, you know, Scott has brought me to, like, many aristocratic parties, and, like, there's never been an issue with my etiquette. I'm like, yeah, of course there's been an issue. Like, just no one will tell you about it. If you're from America, there's inherently going to be an issue, okay? Like, the first thing you should do, if you're an American and you decide to move to London and you want to mix with high society, even if you think you're the most polished person in the world, you got to get an etiquette teacher. Because there's shit, there's, like, high-level etiquette shit that goes on in England, and you just have to know it.
Yeah.
Skull.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a reason I'm staying here. I'm never going there because I just wouldn't make it. I have no manners. I'm one of those. They'd be like, oh, look at that man at the buffet. It's for everybody, buddy. It's for everybody. And I'd be like, what do you call Tupperware in England? Can someone loan me some?
It's like King Ralph. King Ronnie. But the rest of the episode is basically just like Caprice, like, lying down on couches and being like, oh, the baby's coming close, like the surrogate's dilating.
Cappers is on the phone for the circuit.
Oh, God, Cappers. She's just, so fucking retarded, that woman.
She really is.
Like, I'm about to have a baby, and I'm just so mush. Will you have a party for me? Will you have a party for me? I don't want to have it there. Can we have it somewhere else? It's like, fuck
I have,
off.
I have, like, a national campaign that I'm shooting. This is a really big campaign for my lingerie brand that no one's heard of.
Yeah.
By Caprice. No, she's just so – she's stupid. And then Annabelle spent the episode lying in bed being like, Alexander loved recovering in bed.
I wish Alexander was still here. He would come out with a recovery line. You know, everything would come with a crutch or one of those bars that you hang on to when you have to use the loo, darling.
Yeah. My crutch has a 6-inch heel on it. Alexander loved a crutch. I used to think of myself as something of a crutch for Alexander. Now I need a crutch. Isn't it ironic? Alexander loved irony with crutches.
I wish Alexander was here to make a line of women who had to poo their pants because they couldn't afford help to take them to the restroom. Oh, Alexander!
The pelvis is Alexander's most favorite bone. Alexander!
Alexander! That lady, I just laughed, which is so mean, but I don't know, I feel like it's me, like I got a scooter and all my friends are like, you're riding a scooter, you idiot, you're gonna die on that thing, something's gonna happen. I'm like, no it's not, everything's great. You know the first thing that's gonna happen is that I'm gonna fucking die on a scooter, and I'm not gonna complain about it because everybody already warned me about it. I'm not allowed to complain about it, I just have to be like, whoops, I'm dead, sorry, love you guys, don't even have a funeral for me, it was all my fault.
How long does it take to recover from a pelvic break? I mean, that sounds like it must be the worst. What do you do?
You know, she ain't using that thing anyway.
Her broken pelvis.
She's not using that probably, pelvis. She's like, I'll never make love again because Alexander can't make love.
Probably sounds like the cupboard that the teacups are stored in.
Alexander loved a cupboard.
Probably sounds like a record player when the record's done and it's just like
sounds like windshield wipers.
That's what it sounds like when she's speed walking.
It sounds like my shower caddy when it comes unstuck from the wall.
It sounds like when you plug up the bathtub but there's a hole in the plug and it's just like
It sounds like the wind coming into my apartment whenever I leave my sliding door open just ajar. It's like sort of sounds like my chair.
What if it sounds like the subway when the door is open? Ding dong.
sort of sounds like sort of sounds like an air seal in outer space.
This show's gonna kill me one day. All right. Let's talk about something really important.
Okay, let's do it.
Is there anything left? Did we talk about?
Yeah,
there's stuff left in this show, right?
New York. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So what else happened? Oh, wait. Did anything else happen in the show? I don't think so. Are we done?
Caroline's having a dinner party. She invited Caprice, even though she didn't want to invite her. She did it because it was the right thing to do, and then Caprice is showing up late. And that's it.
Yeah.
And Juliet probably says, Juliet, I think Noelle's caught in the middle because she's stupid. And Juliet said something maybe at one point, and Marissa maybe, like, took umbrage about something, but that's it.
Yeah, this show, I don't know. I feel like it can be good, but it's really difficult to have a good show about women fighting when the women are all insisting on being polite. They won't fight. So you guys need to either be more entertaining or just fight.
Because... they need to get a cockney woman in the mix.
Oh my God, yes, they need like an Eliza Doolittle in there.
Yeah.
Which I think is what they're going for with Nicole. But I think if it was like Nicole and some other trashy American and then all British ladies like Caroline, that would be amazing. But I don't know.
Yeah, they need more Brits in there for sure.
They definitely need to keep Caroline.
Yeah.
And, like, I honestly think, like, the Americans, except for Noelle and Caprice, they both are dirty whore bags who suck. But I like Marissa and Juliet. Like, they seem perfectly nice, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. They need to do more. I mean, yeah. Caroline doesn't really do that much, and she's hilarious, so I could watch her all day.
And, wait, you know? I also would like Caroline's assistant to make a return. I was like, all right, we have 6 RSVPs. And she's a woman, by the way, I should add. She's like, we have 6 RSVPs, and there's going to be a lot of vodka at the rest. I don't know what I'm doing, but her voice is very deep. Her voice is very deep. I'm practicing impersonation. I gave her a very Cockney accent, and Caroline would never do that. But she basically said, whatever. I'm moving on.
Okay.
Let's move on to New York.
Okay. New York. I fast-forwarded through a lot because it was Ramona and her fucking daughter, and I don't fucking care about you guys.
It's good to cry. Shut the fuck up. It's good to cry. It's good to cry.
I was actually mad at our listeners because, you know, we have threads every time these shows are on saying, hey, let's talk about the shows together or whatever, and you guys comment, and they're fucking hilarious, and I love reading those comments. But I had fast-forwarded through the Ramona scenes and actually had to rewind them to see her doing her breathing exercises.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Avery, what you have to do is you have to breathe in for 4 seconds, okay? Okay. Now you let go for 6 seconds, okay? Now hold for 2 seconds, okay? Now repeat, okay?
Okay. Okay. You need to breathe real deep. Okay. No, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. No, now do it for just 4 seconds. Jesus, Ramona. This isn't relaxing. So the best thing, and well, there was a lot of horrible stuff. Okay, so that Avery thing. Bye. Go to college. Bye. So we can watch your dad fuck around on your mom, because that's the only reason we still care about your family. Okay? Bye. Yeah. And then there was something else boring. Oh, Kristen and her terrible marriage. Which
I don't know. I like the therapy because Josh is an asshole, and I was like excited to see the idea that maybe someone might put Josh slightly in this place, which sort of a little bit happened. I don't know. I liked it. I like the therapy scene personally.
And then what? Well, I love that it basically came down to Josh can still do whatever the fuck he wants as long as he calls first.
Yeah.
Like, all she's going to get is a text message. And she's like, oh, I totally got what I wanted. Like, no, you didn't. You just totally got screwed over. But whatever. Glad you went to
Josh,
therapy.
Josh, that's all I want. That's all I want, Josh.
I just feel like he doesn't respect me. Ugh, shut up. What else?
Okay, so, what was it? Carol had a 50th birthday party. This thing, Garden of Good and Evil.
Evil and Eve. If we invite Aviva, it'll be the Garden of Evil and Evil.
Oh, Aviva got a leg to a Boston Marathon. So see, that's what Aviva does. She links herself. She does something really nice for a Boston Marathon survivor, and then it's like, oh, well, now we can't make fun of Aviva, but we still can.
Although, no, you still can, because, of course, she only does it on camera.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, Aviva's being so nice, but every time she does something that's nice, she makes sure that there's a camera crew.
Yeah.
It doesn't count. It's like when people tell you they love you and they're drunk. It doesn't count when you're fucking drunk, all right?
Yeah.
It doesn't count if it's on a reality show, because you're totally using it for your own good, okay?
By the way, Ronnie, I don't want to one-up you with the fact that Andy Cohen is following your site, but Official Panda Express is now following my Instagram, so...
Oh, yes, my God.
Andy Cohen and raised you.
Oh, my God. Okay, Andy and Panda Express. We're sorry that we make fun of both of you, but we will totally work for both of you. So if Bravo wants to give me a job, I will be really nice about Andy. And if Panda Express wants to give me a job, I will be really nice about my diarrhea issues with your restaurant. All right?
It's perfect.
So what else happened on this fucking show?
Let's see. So Aviva, the whole thing was that so Luann and Jacques finally broke up, and Luann was crying. And so Sonia had this thing with Harry Dubin, where it's like this stupid romance that I've never believed all season, where he's like, yeah, I want to take our everything to the next level. And then Sonia's like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Things have happened. We're getting a dog. I don't know. And then he gives her a ring. But then he's like leering at Luann, and they left in a cab together. But which doesn't even seem real. It seemed like it was so like patched together.
Crazy. That was crazy. I was like, what the hell? This guy is such a pig. He's like, here's the ring I got you. There's no box. So obviously that ring was like in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah. He's like, here's a ring. I want to take it to the next level. But we're not getting married. It just means I want to take it to the next level. Okay, bye. I'm going home with Luann because she's desperate and she needs my penis inside of her. Like, what? What are you doing? Who does that?
I know. He's so obviously a sleaze. First of all, could you really ever go with someone who was married to Aviva Drescher?
No.
He's soiled.
I mean, that guy's more soiled than a fucking garden. That guy's got a lot of soil on. He's got soil from every old lady in town. Don't go there. Gross.
Yeah.
So that was the best part. Carol, I think, you know, I really like Carol. I can't not like her for some reason.
Yeah, I love Carol.
I just think she's really funny.
She is.
I want snakes at my party and butterflies and orbs.
It's like I knew that those butterflies were all going to be dead. Fucking animal abuser.
Yeah. Her party actually looked pretty amazing. I wanted to be there.
Yeah, it looked fun. I hope she got some. And what else happened in this eps? This is basically the kind of the boring lead up to the leg being slammed on the table.
Yeah, that's all we want.
Yeah. And that's because the season fins.
I know, and same with Ladies of London. I hope this cast comes back, and I hope that Luann gets to be a cast member again.
Me too. I love her. She really got shortchanged because she was a cast member anyway, and they just didn't put her in the fucking credits.
I know. Wait, should we talk about Sonia's gay Christian psychic?
Oh, sure.
So she has a gay Christian psychic.
That's pretty much all I had to say, too. I was like, wow, that psychic's pretty gay.
And he just like threw down a card and was like, oh, he's like, oh no, there's a brunette who's in your group.
And I love that they literally took Luann's picture and put it on that card too. Because it was like Luann with her hair flying. It's like Luann in a wig. I was like, that is Luann. That's not even a real card. It's like a picture of Luann. He's like, I picked this card. It's Luann. She's going to screw you up. She's going to fuck your hair plugged guy. My aunt is recently divorced and she's dating again. And she's like, when did men just start having, like, vagina fat where their penises should be? And that's what I think of when I see Harry Dubin. I just think he's probably got a whole lot of mangina fat over that little tiny sausage.
Yeah.
Isn't that mature? That's all I can think of every time I see him. I'm like,
it's true, though. It's very true. All right, well, okay. I think we've covered everything.
I think we're going to end on mangina today, guys.
Yeah,
okay? It's a classy week. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for listening. You can come find us on Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrapins. Thank you to all the listeners for making that Facebook page a success. It is so much fun to read you guys. We'll be talking all week there about all the different shows. And if you listen to the episode and want to complain to us or talk about the actual podcast episode, we'll have a thread up with it posted on the website. We're also doing Big Brother stuff this year, not necessarily on this podcast, obviously, but I'm doing Big Brother in 2 minutes videos at Trash Talk TV. I post them on our Facebook. And also, Ben is doing really funny photo recaps, what do you call them? Why can't I come up with the word?
Photo caps.
And you can find those at bsideblog.com, or we post those on our Facebook as well. You can also find us at What Crappens, and you can find me personally, Ronnie Karam, at Ronnie Karam on Twitter or on Instagram, same name. If you want Trash Talk TV, you can find us and all our funny recappers on Twitter at Trash Tweet TV and on Instagram at Trash Talk TV and on Tumblr at trashtalktvrecaps.tumblr.com. And you can find Ben at B-Side Blog on Twitter. You can find him on Vine, Instagram. You're not a Tumblr guy.
Not really.
Facebook, all of those things. And, of course, his hilarious site. So thank you guys so much for listening. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.